John chapter 2, and the third day, I'm not sure what that means by the third day from what, or does it just mean the third day of the week, I'm not sure. And the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, so Mary was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were called to the wedding. And when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come." Couple of things I want to say about this. First of all, when you read the word wine in the New Testament, you do not know if that is referring to the fruit of the vine, simply grape juice, or if it's fermented grape juice, if it's alcoholic. You cannot tell just by the word. You have to look at the context to determine that. And it infuriates me when people try to accuse Jesus of providing booze for a wedding party. That would be completely contrary to the will of God, to provide alcohol to a party of people. Second thing is, Jesus had never performed a miracle up until this point. He was not really known yet as anybody other than, oh, that's Jesus. He's Joseph's son, Mary's son. He's a carpenter. He's from Nazareth of Galilee. He's got some brothers and sisters. He's nobody special. He's telling his mother, it's not time for me to reveal myself yet. I mean, his mother was basically saying, Jesus, I know that you are special. Because remember, we kept reading these phrases that Mary kept all these things in her heart. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. So there were some big water pots sitting there. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it was from, but the servants who drew the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when men have well drunk, then what is worse? But you have kept the good wine until now." In other words, it's normal to serve like the best wine first. And then when everybody's had plenty to drink, then they bring out the older wine because no one's really going to notice. This in no way, shape, or form indicates that Jesus is providing an alcoholic beverage to a wedding party. First of all, he would be violating Habakkuk 2:15. Let me find Habakkuk 2:15. Hold on. One of those little minor prophets. It's sometimes hard to find their book. Habakkuk 2:15. "Woe to him who gives his neighbor a drink, who puts your bottle to him and makes him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness." So you really believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is providing alcoholic booze to a party so everyone can get drunk? No. The context would demand that this wine is simply grape juice. This beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So this was Jesus' first miracle, which supports my belief that up until now, John the Baptist and Jesus just grew up as normal 2 boys into adulthood. Nothing, you know, outstanding or special about them until they turned 30, when their missions were to begin. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. So, one cool thing about the book of John, we know Jesus' mission, his ministry was 3.5 years long. And a good way to track that in John is looking at how many Passovers. There was a Passover every year. This is the first one. So we know this Passover was in like AD 26, 27, first Passover. And we'll see as we go through the book, we'll see another Passover and another Passover. And then the fourth Passover is when he is killed. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers sitting. And when he had made a whip of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things from here. Do not make my father's house a house of business." He was angry. And that's okay to be angry if it's righteous indignation. And of course, him being the Son of God, he can do whatever he wants. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal for your house has eaten me up." And that's a quote from Psalm 69:9. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things?" In other words, prove to us that you have the authority to go into the temple and throw all these people out. Who do you think you are? Give us a sign to prove who you are. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, these guys end up using this against Jesus later on, saying, "Oh yeah, he said that he could destroy the temple, and in 3 days he could rebuild it." Well, Jesus wasn't referring to the physical temple there. He was referring to his body. Then the Jew says, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he spoke of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover on the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. So he's proving who he is with supernatural acts. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and had no need that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. In this case, he didn't go out of his way to perform a lot of miracles because he knew they were going to reject him. We don't have that luxury today. We need to teach and preach wherever we can, regardless if we think that they will care or not. Jesus knew that he was casting his pearls before swine, because being deity, he knew their hearts. We don't always. So we have to be careful about that. And we have to just teach and preach regardless of what we think is in their heart. And that is John chapter 2.